Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, church. Good to be with you guys this morning. Well, before we begin our time together, I want to play a game. We don't get to do this normally in here, and so I thought it'd be a little fun to play a game together. It's called Iconic Duos, all right? I think we can all think of an iconic duo, whether that's a real iconic duo, people who are made up. We can think of cartoons. We can think of a lot of things when it comes to iconic duos. But I'm going to test you this morning, okay? Now, we have a wide variety of age in here. We have my son, who is not even 6 months, and then I won't talk about the other end of the spectrum. But I'm hoping that at least one of these, all of you will get. I'm hoping for more, but I'm hoping for at least one that you'll be like, oh, I know this one. So here's the rules to the game. It's very simple. There's only one rule, and that is I'm going to show you a picture, and this picture is going to have a duo, but I'm only going to show you the first half of the duo, and your job is then to blurt out, you don't have to raise your hands this time, blurt out who the other half of that iconic duo is. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay, perfect. You guys ready? Now, I will say, some of these are going to be a little harder. I'm going to try and trick you a little bit, but we'll see if we can get them. All right, so the first one is Lilo. Stitch. Yes, Stitch. All right, next one. We've got Calvin. Hobbs, perfect. Next is SpongeBob. Well, SquarePants is the last name. Patrick is his buddy. Yep, see, I thought somebody would say that. All right, next we've got Woody. And Buzz Lightyear, yeah. This is for some of you older ones. Han Solo. And Chewbacca. We've got Bert. Bert and Ernie. Then we have Joey. Chandler. Yeah, the picture, you got to get wait for the picture. Me just saying Joey, you're probably like, I don't know. Next is Shrek. Donkey. I'm hearing fewer and fewer people saying the answer, so I need you guys to step it up a little bit, all right? All right, next one, we've got Sherlock Holmes. Yeah, and Dr. Watson. Then we have, this is one of my personal favorites, we got Sean Spencer. A couple people threw out Gus, there we go. We've got Scooby-Doo. And Shaggy. We've got Mickey. And Minnie. See, I thought that one might trick some of you guys. Maybe you would say Goofy or Donald Duck. I really didn't know, but you guys got it right. All right, here's another good one. Wayne. Yeah, there we go. Wayne and Garth. I'm going to be honest. I did that mainly for my dad. So he's not even here, but I mainly did that for him. And then this last one, we have Frodo Baggins. Samwise Gamgee. This is from The Lord of the Rings, one of the best stories on friendship. If you've never watched it or even read the books, I definitely recommend it. But I actually have one more. I have one more. So let's throw up the last one. I have you. And question. This morning, we're going to be talking about friendship. We're going to be talking about this idea of iconic duos. And my challenge for you is for you to think of who your other half is. Now, you might be sitting next to them, and that's great. I think significant others should be some of the closest, if not one of the closest, people that we have in our lives. But I'm talking about friendship, the best of friends. Who is that other half? And so as we talk about friends this morning, I want you to be thinking about that person. I want you to be thinking about your friendship. How long have you been friends? What do you do together? What do you talk about? Who, and also, who are you as a friend? Are you a good friend? Or maybe do you have some room to grow? And so this morning, as we walk through the book of Proverbs, one of the most heavily talked about topics is friendship. And so before we begin, I would ask you to join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this opportunity, something I don't take lightly. Lord, I pray that as we talk about friendship, that you would challenge us, that our hearts would be open, and that we would see where we need to grow, where we need to be challenged. God, we thank you for your friendship. Lord, I pray this morning that we would grow closer to you, that our friendship with you would be like nothing else on this earth. Lord, we thank you. Be with us for the rest of this morning. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Now, I'm not sure if you know, but we are currently living in an epidemic. Now, this is an epidemic of loneliness. I'm assuming, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm assuming if I were to, all of us would probably raise our hand at one time or another that in our life we have felt alone, that we have felt this loneliness. But over the last few years, it has really been growing, this idea of being alone. And so I did some research on this topic of loneliness and friendship, and I found a few surveys that were done in the last few years and was really honestly surprised by the results. I thought, well, yes, I understand that loneliness is an epidemic, that people feel alone, but I didn't know it was necessarily to this degree. Pew Research, it's a nonprofit organization aimed at educating America and the rest of the world by conducting surveys about specific topics surveyed on friendship. So first we'll talk about friendship. And they asked Americans what value they put into their friendships. And I was shocked. 61%, 6-1, not 6.1, not 0.61, 61% of those surveyed said having close friends is extremely or very important to living a fulfilled life. You would think, oh, wow, that's pretty good. But here's what it's compared to. This is compared, 61% is compared to 23% of those same people saying that about marriage. 61-23. 26% said the same thing about having kids. And 24% said the same thing about making a lot of money. 61% said that they valued it extremely high to having a fulfilled life. Yet 53% would say that they have between 1 and 4 close friends. 38% say they have 5 or more, which is pretty good. And 8% reporting that they have no close friends. But I want to ask this question. What defines close? Close can be proximity. I can run up next to you and say, hey, I'm pretty close to you right now. You might feel a little uncomfortable with that, but I'm right there looking down at you, right? So what is close? So another question asked by the same survey was, what do close friends talk about? And I think this gives us a little bit of insight of what determines close. The most common things talked about are work and family, which I think are great things. Those are not bad things. And I think that they can help us understand this closeness. I mean, work was 58% of the time, and 57 was family. Those are good things to talk about. But the least common was mental health, coming in at 24%. 31% were women, and 15% were men. Close friends seem to talk about other things, sometimes even surface level, like sports or beauty or current events, over the deepest part of ourselves. I mean, mental health is serious, and yet we won't necessarily even open up to our closest of friends. Again, work and family and sports and all these other things, they're good. But you can also talk about that really to anybody. But your closest friends, sometimes we don't even share the deepest part of ourselves. Another survey done by the American Psychiatric Association, and this is on loneliness, stated 33%, one-third of adults reported that they felt lonely at least once a week in the last 12 months. At least once a week in the last 12 months,
adults reported that they felt lonely. They found that younger adults ages 18 to 34 were more likely to report feelings of loneliness than any other age group. 18 to 34. More than half of adults, 63%, turned to TV, movies, social media, or online videos instead of their friends when feeling loneliness arise. We seem to have more access than ever before to more people at any time, and yet people seem to be more lonely than ever. Maybe you felt this way. You turned to your phone instead of the person next to you. This is something that I struggle with, and I've had to cut social media, sometimes not even go on it for days, because I feel like I am just putting distance between those that I'm actually closest to. The truth is, we need friendships. We were made for friendships, but we were made for true friendships, not Facebook friends or Instagram followers or even the passing by conversations. We were made to know and be known. We were made for depth and vulnerability. So what wisdom does the book of Proverbs have for us on friendship? There is so much that we could cover and dive into this morning, but there really are two main points that I want us to talk about with our friendships, and then we'll also talk about what it means to you yourself be challenged to be a true friend. But before we get to that first point, I want us to know that true friends are few and far between. They're not just anybody and everybody. They're the few closest people to you, okay? Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Do you have that friend? Maybe you have one or two, maybe it's three, but I'm gonna say, once you start getting more than that, it's really hard to say that they are true friends. I mean, Jesus had his 12, but really he had his three who he let into his inner circle. Okay? True friends stick closer than a brother. Drew Hunter, in his book, Made for Friendship, and I'm going to be honest with you, this was a really, really good book that I used in my study, and I encourage you to read it. So take note of that title, Made for Friendship. You and I are made for friendship. But he uses this illustration of a highway. How many of you guys like driving on the interstate? Yeah, nobody does, okay, except for Richard, I guess. So this isn't exactly to the illustration. It's just to kind of jog your memory of how much you don't like driving in the city. But he uses this illustration of a highway with four lanes, comparing each lane to a form of friendship. On the far right, you have your impersonal relationships. These are the passing by conversations. You might see them in the grocery store. You say your pleasantries of, "Hi, hello, how are you? Good." And then you go on your way. In the middle two lanes, there are the acquaintances and the casual friends. These are the people you may spend some time with, but you know, things kind of stay surface level. You don't let them in to know exactly who you are. But then you have your left lane, what we call the fast lane, right? In the fast lane, these are your closest friends. These are your ride or die, right? And just like a normal interstate, people can sometimes come and go. They might take the exit, or they might move from that fourth lane, and they might move over to that far left lane, or vice versa. With an interstate, you see this traffic go. And the same thing probably happens in our lives, in our friendships. Think about the friendships that you've had. I could say I was really close to some people in elementary school, and then once I got to middle school, didn't see them again. Or maybe they moved away, or maybe I moved away. People come and go. And hopefully true friends stick, right? That they stick even when you move, even when things get difficult. Things change over time, but the hope is that whoever is in that fast lane, your close friends, are also your true friends. And this brings us to our first point. A godly and righteous person chooses friends cautiously as they determine your direction. Proverbs 12:26 says, "One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." Proverbs 13:20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Solomon is telling us that if we want to be wise, we spend time with wise people. That if we want to turn into a fool, we hang out with fools. And so my question is, who is your iconic duo? Who's your other half? But also beyond that, who are the other people you are hanging out with? Because the people you spend time with are the people who you become like. And I can recognize this very well in high school when I did not hang out with the right people. They were nice, but probably weren't the best for me. And so the first, there's two friends that we can talk about. The first one is the friends to avoid. Friends to avoid. There's two things specifically that Solomon talks about. Those who cause conflict and gossip. I think we all maybe know some of those people. And if we're honest, maybe we've been those people. Proverbs 20:19 says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Proverbs 20:19, therefore do not associate with a simple babbler. 17:9, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. And even Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Now, in this specific verse, the Hebrew word for close friends, and I'm going to butcher this pronunciation because I don't know Hebrew, but I'm assuming it's aluf. I'm probably wrong. But this word means, it's the strongest word for friendship in the Hebrew language. The strongest word for friendship. And yet, even in the strongest of friendships, a whisper is all it takes to destroy it. A whisper. That's it. We should not hang out with people who gossip, whether they gossip about us or other people. We shouldn't be with those that cause conflict. Have you been in a relationship where there's just one thing after another, and it's just like, man, this is never ending? Yeah, we probably should not be spending a whole lot of quality time with that person. But then he also talks about those who are easily angered. Proverbs 22:24 through 25 says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. You hang out with those people and you learn their ways and you entangle yourself. You do this to yourself. They set the trap and you knowingly walk in. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever set a snare trap. I did not know what that was. All I knew was the snare on a drum set. And so I looked it up, and it's a device that catches animals. You place it, it's usually hidden, and then once they step into it, it's usually kind of like a circle, and then you step into it, and something triggers it, and it like kind of tightens around you, makes you can't move, and I think I got the gist of that. So imagine that, and this is what the person who is easily angered does. They set that trap, and you spending quality time with them, learning about them. Now, I want us to understand real quick the difference, right? We still need to share the gospel with those people that cause conflict and gossip and who are easily angered. You know, we need to share the gospel with them. But this is who we are making friends with, people who are letting invest in our lives, people who are molding us to be more like Jesus. So I want us to understand the difference, okay? But they're setting the trap, and you walk in, and you, at this point, are knowing it, and yet you still are in this trap, and it comes around you. And I don't know if you've ever tried to get out of something that really, really hurts and keeps getting like tighter and tighter, like those finger traps. You know which ones I'm talking about? The Chinese finger traps. Yeah, those. The more you struggle, the harder it is to get out, right? Well, imagine a snare trapped around you. And the more that you try and struggle, the tighter it gets, and the more it hurts. And when you get out of it, wounds are left. It causes pain. And once freed, it always leaves a mark. Avoid those who cause conflict with word and deed, and avoid those who come to anger easily, lest you leave that relationship with wounds. But there's another friend. This is the friends to pursue. These are the people we should be chasing after, the people that we should want in our lives, that we should be as well. And there's three things about the friend to pursue. There's those who are willing to have hard conversations. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy." Proverbs 27:9-10, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Do not forsake your friend or your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity." Now, this would have been interesting in that time because usually family lived together in that time. And so why would I not go to my brother? My brother lives with me. But I think that there's this understanding, right, that sometimes a friend sticks closer than a brother. Friends you choose, family you're stuck with. And so we go to our friends, those that we rely on. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. My brother lives in California. I don't get to talk to him that much. Part of that is just because I'm really bad at communication. But the other part is that he lives like 40 hours away. And so who am I going to turn to when I come into a time of need? I'm going to turn to my friends, many of which are sitting in this room, before I go to my brother. Now, should I tell my brother about what's going on in my life? Yes. Can he help? Probably not. So I turn to my friends. There are also those who delight the heart. Proverbs 27:9 again says, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." Our friends delight us. They give us joy. J.C. Ryle says this, "This world is full of sorrow because it is full of sin. It is a dark place. It is a lonely place. It is a disappointing place. The brightest sunbeam in it is a friend. Friendship halves our troubles and doubles our joy." Do you have a friend who takes your sorrows, takes your troubles, and it seems like they go away, and yet replace that then with more joy? Do you feel refreshed after you've spent time with them? And lastly, those who recognize that biblical friendship is hard but important. Anything worth doing takes time and energy. Sometimes even things that aren't worth doing take time and energy. But how do you spend your time? How do you spend your energy? What wasted moments could you use to encourage and lift up a friend? I mean, if we were all to pull out our phones and look at our time, our screen time on it, would we want to show that around? Or would we want to hide it, put it back in our pocket? What moments do we find when we're sitting across at dinner and we see our phones on the table, even if you're not even on it, but yet it's there. It's present. You hear a buzz, you hear a ring, and you go to it. What would the relationships look like if we didn't do that? Hugh Black says, "We have few friendships because we are not willing to pay the price of friendship. The secret of friendship is just the secret of all spiritual blessing. The way to get is to give." Give yourself. Give true friendship. As you remember who you thought of as your iconic duo, ask this question. Does your friendship, our friendship, reflect a friend to avoid or a friend to pursue? And what needs to change? Drew Hunter, in that book, Made for Friendship, he says, "Character is contagious. This is why we must choose our friends wisely, because we will inevitably become like them." It's not a will I, it's when. Because you will. You will look like your friends. And then we get to our second point of true friendship. A godly and righteous person acknowledges God as the best of friends. Michael Talley says, "Friendship is not a nice bonus in our life. It is one of the most fundamental aspects of humanity." We were made for friendship with God. Genesis 2:18. "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" We see that God recognizes that Adam was alone and said that it was not good. So he created Eve. Both of them were in friendship with God and with each other. Perfect harmony, perfect friendship. And they walked together. They spent time together. They knew one another. But then sin enters. Sin broke our friendship with God. Genesis 3:1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden. And we kind of know the story from there. Deception. We see that it is the whispers of deceit and sin enters the equation. No longer was there perfect harmony. No longer was there perfect relationship. God could not be in the presence of sin and sends them out of the garden. But before that happens, we see an initiation of redemption. Genesis 3:9 says, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you? Where are you?'" God knew where they were. He's God. But yet he initiates redemption and he asks them to come out. They're his friends. He says, "Where are you?" God didn't just send them out and forget about them, but instead put in place a way for them to come back into friendship with him. And that was Jesus, because Jesus redeems our friendship with God. John 15:12 through 17 says this, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." Jesus took our loneliness so that we could walk with God again. He took our loneliness, he took our sin so that we could walk with God again. Do you see the beauty? No longer do we live as servants, but as friends of Christ. Even in the darkest of moments, when we feel the most alone, we have someone who can relate. Jesus, who had just told the disciples that they were no longer his servants, but yet his friends, was abandoned by almost all of them when he went to the cross for your sin and mine. He knows what it means to be alone. We have a friend that we can turn to at any moment. And the great news is that he is seeking us. He is seeking you and me. He is calling out, "Where are you? Do you hear him? Will you walk with him?" We know that any relationship involves participation on more than just one person, right? Like, I can't force myself into a friendship with somebody else. There has to be something in return. It takes two to tango, right? Like, I can't just, if one person's tangoing and one is not, it kind of looks weird, just saying. Which I'm not one of those people. I will never tango. But we also know that relationships are difficult. Can I get an amen to that? Yeah. Relationships are difficult. Yes. And they open us up to being vulnerable in the possibility of conflict. Relationships, friendships are hard. Romans 12:18 says this though, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." If it's up to you, let me say something, it's up to you to live at peace with all around you. Be a true friend. What does it look like to be a true friend? So really quickly, I'm just gonna go through three things that you can do as a true friend, that it is up to you to live at peace, that you can be a true friend if you live in these three wisdom. A true friend forgives. Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses." Proverbs 17:9, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." In Proverbs 18:24, "Man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." We know that conflict comes into every relationship. It's inevitable, especially the relationships where people spend copious amounts of time together. You spend a lot of time with someone, conflict's going to arise. So easily does conflict happen and people walk away, give up, say, "All right, I'm done. You hurt me, I'm done." And there is a time and a place for that. But we have to recognize that relationships are hard and friendships are hard. And remember, the friend to pursue is willing to have hard conversations. It talks about the wounds that we get are better than the profuse of kisses, right, from an enemy. Sometimes we need to tell the hard truth with grace and love. It's not an easy thing to do. And sometimes our friends say some things that maybe do hurt us. But we have to remember that forgiveness isn't a choice. It's a command. Luke 6:37 says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." You want to be forgiven? Forgive. People will do you wrong. It will happen. Colossians 3:13, "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Now, we can't just say, "I'm sorry," and move on, because it has to be of the heart, right? I mean, when we see this in Acts, and Peter says all these things about, "You crucified Jesus," and they were cut to the heart, and they asked, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized." Forgiveness, there has to be something going on in your heart. You have to feel it. It's not just the words you're saying. You have to feel it. Do I feel sorry? Do I need to ask for forgiveness or seek forgiveness? Do I need to forgive? True friends are willing to forgive one another. The second is a true friend loves. Proverbs 11:25, "Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered." This isn't just saying, "I love you," but it's showing it. True friends sacrifice for one another. Willing to do anything for one another. Sacrificial love is loving when it isn't convenient. Dropping what you are doing because a person you care for needs you. John 15:13, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Are you willing to sacrifice everything for your friend? They call you at 2:00 in the morning because they need you. Are you going to answer? Are you going to go? What are you willing to do for your friend? And the last thing is that a true friend grows. Proverbs 19:22, "What is desired in a man is steadfast love, and a poor man is better than a liar." Proverbs 26, "Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find?" Spiritual growth is necessary to have true friendship. How can you be a good friend if you aren't pursuing your own growth and also helping them grow more like Christ? Now, I don't know if many of you guys know this, and I'm wrapping up here, but Shark Week was a few weeks ago. How many of you guys walk Shark Week? We got a few people in here. I had no idea. I used to watch it, but it was a few weeks ago, and there was something that video that I had seen that talked about certain sharks, and I found it very interesting, and so I wanted to share that with you. There are a few sharks that rely on something called ram ventilation. Now, essentially, I'm going to explain it so you're not just left there wondering. Ram ventilation means that they must continue to move to survive. Not every shark does this, but there are some. Water has to constantly flow over their gills, otherwise they suffocate. They need the oxygen that's in the water, and it goes over their gills, and then their body does something to it, and it allows them to breathe. But if they stop moving, they die. Move or die. And I believe that the same is with our relationship with Christ. You grow or you die. Now, some of you may say, "I don't feel like I'm growing." Well, the question is, are you making an effort to change, to pursue true friends, to be the best friend of all, Christ? Or do we make excuses? Say, "I'm too busy. I don't have the time. I'm too tired. I'm too this. We're too that." Well, you have the choice to free up your schedule. You have the choice to pursue. We have to grow. We have to. It's grow or die. Dory has wise words for us all to follow. Just keep swimming. You stop and you die. Now, I understand that sometimes we have questions. Sometimes maybe we even have doubts. But doubts are not necessarily a bad thing. It's when you don't do anything with them. That's when it becomes bad. If you have doubts and you have questions, you seek, you pursue. That allows growth. But if we just sit in our doubt, then we allow the opportunity for death to enter in. True friendships are hard. If it were easy, we would all have them. We'd all be living this so well. And yet maybe we aren't. Maybe we need to be a better true friend. Maybe we need to let go of the people who are causing conflict and gossip and maybe who are easily angered. Maybe we're those people. And we reflect on our friendships. True friendships are hard. If you want to live a life that has relationships that halves your troubles and doubles your joy, then you need true friendships. Now, a great way to seek true friendships is with the people that are currently sitting around you. So just real quick, everybody kind of go left and right, left and right. This is the best place. This is the best place to find true friendships because you all have the same mindset, and that is of Jesus Christ. This is the perfect place. It's getting plugged into the church, a place where all people are in the pursuit of the same thing. And this morning, we're going to be launching our signups for our growth groups. We'll be out in the Connection Center for that. But growth groups are a great opportunity for you to even dive deeper. There's a lot of people in this room, and it's hard to maybe get to know some specific people. Who would I kind of, you know, mold in with well? Who could I find encouragement from? And growth groups are a great way because we make these into smaller groups where we go deeper into Scripture, we go deeper into one another's lives, and true friendships are formed. I know from experience. I haven't been in the growth group that we started in because we felt the call to lead a growth group, but I know my wife and I, we miss them. Some of them are in this room, and they know the depth that is a part of that group, that true friends can happen from that. And so these groups, they're a great starting point to finding true friendships. Now, I can't guarantee that you'll start making true friendships right away. It's just, I mean, some people go deep and they go deep fast, and that's wonderful for them. But most people, we kind of are a little reserved, right? We don't share our deepest, darkest things until maybe we've known you for about 30 years, right? So, but what I can guarantee is that it's worth it. It's worth it. My encouragement to you, could you imagine a church? Imagine a church where there are 200 people on a Sunday that came and worshiped God and grew together, but then those same 200 people were in a growth group. They were in groups of 10 to 12 people, having life-on-life relationships, true friendships, encouraging one another, lifting one another up. That's the church. This is wonderful. I love this. I love getting to worship with all of you and hear your amazing voices and see the kids in the back and see them grow in relationship with Christ. But the church is meant to live life on life, to grow in friendship. And so Angie's going to share a little bit more about our growth groups and how you can get plugged in today.
Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." And that's the great thing about our growth groups. It provides community and it helps us sharpen each other in the faith. One of our core four here at Seymour Christian is to grow. We're meant to grow together. We need each other. So our growth groups are a way to get into a smaller environment than what we have here on a Sunday morning. We work through study guides that are centered around the sermons that we go through on Sunday, but it helps us dive a little bit deeper together into both the sermon topic and the scriptures that that support it. We're growing together spiritually, but the questions are also designed to help us get to know each other better and to dig deeper into our faith and our backgrounds and our stories. So we're getting to know each other on a deeper level as we dive deeper into God's Word. And the Holy Spirit is so faithful to interact with each of us in those groups so that as we share together, we open up our eyes in different ways because of each other's experiences, and we can learn from each other as we learn from the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to be a part of a growth group this semester, you can sign up online at seymourchristian.com and click the Grow tab. Or if you would prefer, we also have someone at the Connection Center that would be happy to help you sign up or just answer any questions that you may have. Here at Seymour Christian, we are becoming disciples who follow Jesus, are being changed by Jesus, and are on mission with Jesus. So we would love for you to join a group this semester, and let's all grow together.
So that's my challenge for you guys this morning, to grow in true friendships, to find true friendships, because we all need them. We were made for them. And I hope that I get to see so many of you in growth groups this fall. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this morning. We thank you for our time together, diving into your word and the wisdom that you have for us. Lord, I pray that we would become more wise, that we would seek your wisdom. Lord, I pray that in the friendships that we make and the friendships that we choose to pursue good friends. Friends that seek you, that we would have the wisdom to determine whether we need to walk away from a friendship, that it's hurting us more than it is helping us grow in you. And Lord, I pray that we would be true friends, friends who forgive, friends who love, and friends who grow, not just in our own lives, but Lord, with our friends and within our families. Lord, we need your wisdom. Lord, we need you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.